Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Verse 1. And now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what is thou in thy house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door, and thou shalt set aside that her and her sons who brought the vessel to her. And she poured out, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed, and she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. I want to talk to you about victory for the vulnerable. You may be seated. You know, the devil is a bully. The devil is a bully. And it's no excuse for adverse reaction and actions in your life, but there was a shooting, as you saw, on one of the Army bases this week, and they have not yet determined what the motive was for that young man shooting those people. But they said he had a problem with speaking. He stuttered real bad, and he has been mocked all of his life for stuttering, and it began to affect him. The devil is a bully. There's something wrong with people that bully other people because it's a characteristic that is demonic, and the devil attacks those that are vulnerable, those that are the weakest. And as I said, the Bible said, let the weak say, I am strong. Here's a turnaround story. Here's a woman that was in total destitution, and she turns around debt free. And it happened not because of outside forces, but it happened because she could answer the question, what's in your house? I've always thought it was strange when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it seems like it's something from heaven that comes upon us. But the Bible phrases it differently. It said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It comes out of you. He said, it's not what goes in that defiles you. Jesus said this. He said, it's what comes out of you. Jesus came particularly for those that are weak. And God is especially responsive to the vulnerable. Jesus answered and said to them in Luke chapter 5, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. This woman qualified as vulnerable. Have you noticed that many, many of the miracles in the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament, were done for widow women, for people that were without resources, and God performed miracles in their life. She qualifies as the vulnerable because she was a widow, she was a single parent, she was living in poverty. God has great promises recorded in Isaiah to the vulnerable. He said, Sing, O barren, thou that did not break forth into singing. Cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. If you study miracles in the Bible, you'll find that miracles happen to people that make room for them. They make place for them. There was the woman that was married to an older man, and she could not have a child because her husband was so old. But she wanted a miracle so bad, she built a room on her house, and the prophet came by. And the story is long, but the result of that was that the prophet's presence in that house brought the blessing of God, and she had a child. Not only had a child, when that child died, she had a resurrection of that child because she increased her capacity. Friend, if you want a miracle, you have to increase your capacity. The Bible said, stretch forth your cords, strengthen thy stakes. You'll break forth on the right hand and on the left. In other words, get ready for a miracle. I've told you, when we were building the building next door, we had no money. We didn't have a loan. We had no money, just couldn't build. And one day, I'm not a carpenter, but one day I said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to act like a carpenter. And my daddy was an engineer on the railroad. And when he first started, he was a fireman on the railroad. When he first started, that was when they had those kind of engines where they would have to shovel the coal. That's what Daddy did first. He shoveled the coal in there for those engines to burn. Then he became an engineer eventually. But when he was shoveling coal, he always wore bib overalls. And as a kid, if he'd show up at my school in bib overalls, I'd always be embarrassed. Kids are always embarrassed by their parents. I don't know why that is. Except my kids were. They were so proud of me. But all of you people, your kids were embarrassed by you. But I was embarrassed my dad would show up in bib overalls. And so I've never had bib overalls in my life, except when I run out of money over here and I didn't have a carpenter. I went and bought me some of those carpenter bib overalls. They were rust colored and they had all kinds of pockets. And then I went and bought me some squares and some hammers, and I hung tools all over me. And I walked around that building like I was a carpenter, because I couldn't afford to hire no carpenter. Oh, mentally, I was increasing my capacity. I was saying, God is going to cause this to happen. And the very, very week that I did that, the Lord opened up and gave us $1 million, loaned us to a bank, $1 million to finish that building. And I've always thought that it had something to do with the fact of my mental capacity. My question, are you increasing your capacity today? Or are you just saying, look, I'm broke and there's nothing I can do about it. They're sick, I'm sick and there's nothing I can do. That's not true. Friend, the Bible said the same spirit that is in Christ is in you. Christ is a creator. And as a child of God, you are a creator. You can create your own climate. You don't have to accept things like they are. You can begin to speak. The Bible said the world was framed by the Word of God, and now you've got the Word of God in you, and you can begin to frame your own world. And so she said, you know me. She said, I have nothing. My husband is dead. There's just nothing I can do. And the prophet said to her, said, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? You need to avoid the mistakes of the vulnerable. Number one, she was looking to her dead husband as her source. Have you ever noticed that the Bible said that men shall give unto your bosom? But when it says men, it's not very specific. It didn't say your brother-in-law or your daddy or your son. Or your mother, or your mother-in-law, or your pastor, or your friend, or your wife, or your husband. It said, God said, I'll find some. I've always felt this way. I felt that men are supposed to give unto my bosom because the Bible said they were. But if God speaks to one man and he doesn't bless me, God will move on to somebody else. God will find somebody to bless you. But here was a woman, she was zeroed in on the fact that her husband had been her provider and now he was dead. That is a mistake. Don't zero in on one person, because the person that is going to bless you is not really the blessor. They're just the conduit. It's God that's doing it. And I told you in the business world, my favorite deal is when I'm in negotiations, is when they say, I don't know why I'm going to do this. I love it when they say that, because I know that's God on them, making them do something that they didn't plan on doing. Somebody right now has got your blessing. Somebody has got your blessing. And God can work on their heart, and they can say, I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I'm going to give you a raise. I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I'm going to give you a car. I've told you about preaching in California because I've told it so many times because it was such an exciting event to me. But I went to California to preach this conference. I was the only white guy there, building almost this large, and everybody in the building was people of color except me, and I wasn't. I am a color, but not that color. I'm not transparent. You understand that? But these were the most wonderful people. And he said, would you like to hear my testimony? And I said, I sure would. He said, I moved to California. And he said, when I moved to California, he said, God sent me here to start this church. I had nothing. I had no money. I couldn't hardly support myself. He said, I got this little bitty apartment that we've lived in. He said, I had an old car. It wasn't hard to run. And I finally got a little storefront where we could have church. It's a long story. But he talked about how God began to move on him. And he began to praise God for things he didn't have. He was very vulnerable. You understand when you're in a white neighborhood and you're black and you're a Pentecostal and everybody else is Catholic and you're broke, you understand you're vulnerable, don't you? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how vulnerable you think yourself when you realize that God is on your side. And he said, all of my life, he said, I wanted a Lincoln car, a Lincoln automobile. And he said, I started going down to the Lincoln dealer, and he said, I just go down there and look at that new Lincoln. He said, I go about every day, and I just stand in the showroom and just say, thank you, Lord, for this car. He said, one day a guy came out, and he said, I found out he owned the Lincoln dealership. And he said, who are you? He said, well, my name's so-and-so. And he said, I pastor this church I started down here. He said, oh, really? So what kind of church? He said, it's Pentecostal church. He said, well, that's funny. He said, I'm from Mississippi. And he said, my mother's Pentecostal. And said, she calls me all the time and says, are you going to church? And I always say, no. And she said, well, at least you're paying your tithes, aren't you? And I always say, no. And he said, my mother is so disappointed in me. So this man told me, he said, I got up in my little house I was living in, just a little, almost a shack. And he said, I walked out that door one day, and there was a new Lincoln sitting in the driveway. I knew where it came from. I called the Lincoln dealer, and they put the owner on. I said, hey, that Lincoln's in my driveway. He said, I got tired of my mama shaming me and said, she called yesterday and said, have you tithed? And I said, no, but I'm going to, mama. He said, that's your Lincoln. That's my tithe. I'm giving it to you. He wasn't vulnerable. He just thought he was. He said, my wife said when she saw that car, she didn't care about cars. She cared about houses. And said, when I told her that story, she said, let's get in that Lincoln. I got someplace I want to go. They were African-American. She said, we went right over into the white area. And she said, there's a house I've always had my eye on. And so she said, stop in front of that house. Said, I stopped. My wife got out. And she stood there in front of the house and began to praise God for that house. And every day thereafter, she made me take her over there every morning, and I'd praise God for that house. And one day I was praising God for that house, and a man came out and said, who are you and what are you doing? He said, well, we pastored this little church, and my wife loves this house, and she feels like God's going to give it to her. And said, the man said, you know what? He said, I work for the government, and they've transferred me to Europe, and I got to leave here in just a week or two. And he said, I'm telling you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to let you have this house. I don't owe that much on it, but you can have it for the payment on the house. And they said, it was a beautiful house. And it was, because I stayed in that home with them. And said, I'm going to let you make it. Said, we couldn't make the payment. Oh, he said, no, I bought it years ago when my wife was still alive, been paying off. He said, the payment is $127 a month. Can you manage that? So we think we can manage that. Said, when our church, they knew how poor we'd been, when they saw our new car and they saw where we lived, they began to question, how in the world are you all living like that? Said, we told our story. And said, so our church, said, they gathered together and they said, there's a church building down here. That church building would seat about 1,000. I preached in that church building. Said, there's a church building down here we'd like to have. So every Saturday, our church would gather, and we'd gather on the sidewalk, and we'd stand there and praise God. And one day, a man came out, said, what are you all doing? And said, we explained to him. And he said, well, you know what? We've been wanting to sell this church because we're building a new church. We're almost finished across town. But you know what? We saw you out here. And we got together, and we decided that it's not God's will to sell this house. We just want to cede this house to you, that our new church will be paid for. I preached in that church. It was absolutely gorgeous, and it was given to them. All of those people were so vulnerable. But friend, you're not vulnerable when you've got something in your house. But here was a woman, she was making mistakes. She was concerned that her dead husband was her source, that he had died. Her source had died. Let me explain to you. When you're a born-again Christian, your source never dies. Your source never ends. You know, you have people come and give into your life, and then they're gone. You say, oh, my source is gone. Oh, no. Your source is not gone. You know what they do is when the water company gets their pipes, they take them up and they put new ones in. That's really why they're having so much trouble in Flint, Michigan. They didn't know they got lead pipes. They take them up and they put new ones in. Let me explain to you. Your source never ends. Just the conduit ends. God will find another pipe. God will find another person. God will find another way. When you realize that you're vulnerable because of somebody, that's when you put your trust in God and say, oh, I was putting my trust in the wrong thing. I was putting it in one individual, and God is really my source. And so she was a prisoner of the past. She failed to recognize the resource of the house. You know, the Bible, Jesus calls our heart a house. Jesus did that. And you know what? You're saved. You're washed in the blood of Jesus. You're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the resources you need are not out there. They're in here. They're in your heart. And she said, what do you have in your house? And she said, nothing except a pot of oil. She made another mistake. She didn't place proper value on the oil. Friend, I'm going to tell you, oil always represents the Holy Spirit. And the most valuable thing you've got in your life is not your job. It's not your bank account. It's not your car. It's not your house. The greatest resource you have is the Holy Spirit in your life, because He can do anything. You know, some people complain all the time, but Becky and I, we marvel because we have certain situations that come up, and they always work. They always work out. And we just get, and the older we get, the more appreciative we are. Say, this will turn around. Isn't it amazing how this always works out? My real estate agent said, I've never seen anybody where it just always works out for you. That's not because of me. That's because of the Holy Spirit. I've got oil in my house. And very few of you in this building are not Spirit-filled. Almost everybody. In fact, let me just single you out. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're an oddball. You're sitting there. Most people in this room are filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what? He's no respecter of persons. He will not withhold any good thing from you. Right where you're sitting while I'm talking, you could be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what? You got oil in your house. And when you got oil in your house, you ain't never broke. You ain't never broke. Look at somebody say, I ain't never broke. I ain't never broke. I got oil in my house. And it can multiply anytime I need it. Everything we need is in the Holy Ghost. You see, the mistake of the widow is the same mistake that the five foolish virgins made. The Bible said they took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. They didn't put emphasis on the oil. Becky's got a thing, ever since I got sick a few months ago, every time something comes up, this is new. She just started this. She says to me, oh, that can't happen. We're people of faith. That's her new deal. We're people of faith. In other words, we're people that's got oil in our house. Do you have oil in your house? Ask somebody by side. You have oil in your house? Let me tell you about oil. It will multiply. The Bible calls it a river. The reason why, it's immeasurable. The Bible said that Christ was given the Spirit without measure. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the Spirit without measure. It's not a quantity. It's not a cup. It's not a pitcher. You have got now unmeasurable, immeasurable oil flowing through you, and it will increase according to what your need is. The creditor has come. And the creditor has come, and he's come for one thing, and that is to take my two sons to be bondmen. Let me just say this. This is a hard saying. If we put making a living over serving God, we will lose our children. If we put making a living over serving God, we will lose our children. When I came to San Antonio, we had no promise of any money, no income. But I wasn't, Johnny, I wasn't worried about it. I was 20-some years old. Never even crossed my mind. I just did any little thing I could to make money and sustain ourselves. But it was always there. It was always there. Because my goal in life is not making a living. My goal is serving God. And if I serve God, God's got me on his hands. I'm on God's hands. As long as I'm praising him, preaching his word, witnessing for him, living for him, I'm on God's hands. God's not going to be embarrassed. You think that God is going to have Gabriel and Michael saying, what about Steve down there? He's broke. You think God's going to face those kind of questions? No. He's going to take care of me. Because my goal is not making a living. My goal is living in him, serving him. And she didn't understand that just because her husband had died, her ministry was not over. And God is saying to somebody in this building right now that you're looking in the wrong place for your blessing. Your blessing comes from the Lord. And I'm not going to lose my children. I'm thankful that my children, my grandchildren are serving God. But the reason why they are is because they see the benefit. You've got to make the gospel profitable in your life, or you're not going to be a witness. Somebody said, oh, I want to save my family and I want to witness to my friend. If the gospel is not profitable in your life, you can't be a witness. Nobody's going to follow you if the gospel is not profitable. Let me explain to you. The gospel is profitable to me. It makes me money. It gives me health. It gives me peace. It gives me joy. Your life needs to be envious. People look at you and say, oh, God always comes through for them. That's because you've got oil in your house. And so the prophet, look at this. He didn't go anywhere else. The help didn't come from the world. It was all in the house. Everything you need, you've got right now. Everything you've got, you've got right now. It's just a matter of releasing it. So how do I release it? The joy of the Lord, confession, talking about Jesus Christ, thinking about things that are lovely. It's tough to think about things that are lovely in this world because we got 24-hour bad news on 50 channels. And so it's real hard to think about things that are lovely. You know, Becky's very spiritual. She won't watch the news. Because she says it's all bad. And so I watch the news, and then I tell her. And then she rebukes me. She said, why do you think I don't watch the news? I don't want to hear that. But I said, you don't understand what's happening in Russia. You don't want to know what's happening. I don't want to understand what's happening. Because her mind is in the kingdom of God. Think on things that are lovely. Look how the Lord has blessed you. You might not have everything you want right now, but the Lord has blessed you tremendously. The Lord has blessed you. And I promise you, if you'll begin to acknowledge what God has done, he will do even more. So the prophet didn't say, I'll tell you what, somebody's going to come. No, he said, what's in your house? She said, nothing but a pot of oil. He said, increase your capacity. That's what God is saying to Living Way Church today. That's what he's saying to you today. Increase your capacity. Get ready. Get ready. God is getting ready to bless you more than you've ever been blessed. You know, I'm 75 years of age, and so the devil wants to tell me that the best part of my life is over. I don't believe that. That's not God's pattern. The latter house is always greater than the former house. The latter rain is always bigger and more intense than the former rain. And I believe that God is getting ready to do things in my life Oh, it's been so, my life has been so blessed. But I believe that God is going to bless it even more. And so it's my job to increase the capacity that I might hold more of the blessing of the Lord. David said, my cup runneth over. If he had had a bigger cup, he wouldn't have had all that problem with Bathsheba and all those sins he got involved in. His cup wasn't big enough. It was running over. Increase your cup. Increase your capacity. God's getting ready to do things in your life that you hadn't even thought of. He said it hadn't even entered into your mind yet. God's on your side. And God wants to use you as a billboard. God wants to use you as an advertisement. I used to have a friend who was a great evangelist, Rodney Free. He's in heaven now. He said, Steve, he had great revivals all over America, bigger revivals. Hundreds and thousands of people would get saved in Rodney's ministry. And he said, Steve, you know the way I do that? He said, I always get me a dandy. And he said, when I get a dandy, he said, I put him up on the platform, I talk about him. And he said, from the dandy, other people, I said, what's a dandy? He said, you know, just a derelict. He said, I mean just somebody that's either dying or they're broke or they've been in prison. He said, they're just terrible. But he said, I'll get them saved. And he said, God will do such a transforming work in their life. And he said, once they do, I stick them up front. I just talk about them all the time. And he said, I call them my dandy. And he said, from that one person, other people will start coming to Christ. Friend, that's what God wants to do with each one of us. Somebody said, oh, God wants to make an example of you by making you sick or judging you. That's kind of the theology I was raised on and heard all of. That's not true. God wants to make an example of you, but that's not the way. God wants to make an example of you by putting you in divine health, of healing your body from cancer so you'll have a testimony of leukemia, some disease, eye disease, whatever. God wants to make an example of you. God wants to bless you. He wants to give you a great living. He wants to give you a house, a car. He wants to save you. God wants to make an example of you. And so he said, borrow the vessel. Now, like we said, he said, borrow, not a few. In other words, get your expectation up. Do you have any expectation? So, well, my life just kind of humdrum, and I guess that's the way it's going. You know, my daddy was a humdrum lifer. My whole family lived there. They just barely got by. Is that the way you think, or do you have great expectation? He didn't say, go borrow one vessel, and I'll fill it up, and you can sell that, and that'll be a monthly payment. He wasn't interested in a monthly payment. He was interested in a life's provision for this widow. He said, borrow the vessel and borrow not a few. Increase your capacity. Stretch out. Get ready. God's going to use you like you've never been used before. She borrowed all the vessels. I mean, every empty vessel in the neighborhood was sitting in her living room by the time they got through. They borrowed every one of them they could find. And she took that oil and began to pour it. And the Bible said she poured it out. And it just never, ever run out. It just kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring. And the Bible said, and the oil stayed. I like that. Some of you have made enough money in your life to be rich, and you're broke because your oil don't stay. The devil steals from you faster than you can get it. It's not how much you made. It's how much you got left over. And when she got through, it was left over. The Bible said, and the oil stayed. And look what he said. He said, now sell what you want to and pay the debtor. She saved her two boys. That's what our main goal. You know, your main goal in life ought to be saving your children. He said, first your household. First your household. He said, well, I gave my boy a car when he was 16. That's nice. And I bought him $300 tennis shoes. That's stupid. Now, it's not stupid to pay $500 for a good pair of boots. That makes sense because I'm doing it. But tennis shoes, that's stupid because I don't care nothing about it. We tend to justify what we like, I noticed. I just can't believe how much they pay for tennis shoes. But they can't believe how much I pay for boots. We justify what we like. But friend, I'm going to tell you what, God is getting ready to bless you in a tremendous capacity, a tremendous capacity. So he said, sell what you've got and pay off your debt. You know, Paul said, I'm a debtor to the Greek. I'm a debtor to the Gentile. The first thing I should do is to be a proponent of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my number one goal. I had a man working for me, a wonderful man. He's working on an electric gate for me. He said, what do you do besides real estate and ranch? I said, I'm a preacher. Where you preach? I said, Living Way Church. He said, you mean that big church up there? And I said, yep, that's it. He said, I'm a Catholic. He said, every day my mom and daddy would get us kids in and we'd do the rosary. But he said, you know what, preacher? He said, I'm not getting much out of that rosary. And he said, I go to Mass. And he said, I don't understand what they're talking about. It's another language. He said, I've been sneaking off and going to some of these full gospel churches. He said, you know, I feel Christ there. He said, I'm going to show up at your church. I could share with him a little bit about Jesus. See, I'm a debtor to the man working on my gate. I got to pay him off. The only way I can pay him off is by the increase of oil in my life. That's the only way I can pay him off. But here's the good part. He said, pay all you owe and then keep the rest and live on the rest. She went from being destitute, single mother, widow, to being financially independent. And she did it with nothing but the oil in her house. Do you have any idea who you are? You understand there's 8 or 9 billion people in this world, and you were singled out by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tracked you down through the ages. It came through the clubs. It came through the factories. It came through your family. For some reason, it didn't get your cousin. It lighted on you like the dove lighted on you. And here you sit in a full gospel church today, and you understand the gospel, and you understand what Jesus did for you, and you're not afraid of death because you're alive in Christ, and you've got the joy of the Lord. You've got oil in your house. You've got oil in your house. But God doesn't want you to keep that oil in a pot on the shelf. He wants you to borrow the vessels and borrow not a few. When that prophet died, her husband died, he left that pot of oil. He had a plan in mind for his widow, and that is she'd never run out. God's got the same plan for you folks, that you'll never run out. No matter what happens, you're supposed to be rejoicing in the Lord. You're supposed to be saying, God is my source. I'm not living in fear. You know, people that my mother and daddy, they were raised during the Depression, and they just had difficulty. My daddy, when he was a little boy, he's hungry all of his life. This is crazy. But his daddy bought a farm about 10 miles from where they lived. And as an 8-year-old boy, my daddy lived in a big old dilapidated farmhouse by himself, miles away from anybody else, and got up every morning and harnessed his horses and plowed. By 8 years old, nobody around. And my daddy was hungry all the time he was a kid. And I would go to his house, and I would open his cupboard, and he could have started a food pantry out of his little pantry there. I mean, they had canned goods for days. I said, Daddy, why do you got so much food? He'd say, I don't want to run out. I don't want to run out. Always afraid he's going to run out because he'd been raised in the Depression. And a lot of us live in fear we're going to run out. You're not going to run out. You're not going to run out. What have you got in your house? You got oil in your house. Increase your capacity. That's the reason why people don't give. They're afraid they're going to run out. But when you give, you're increasing your capacity. Saying God is getting ready to work a miracle. I speak to you right now. There are people in this building that are going to get miracles this week. Some of you are going to have healing miracles. Some of you are going to have financial miracles. Some of you are going to have miracles in your family. Some of you that are having problems with your children are going to change by the power of the Holy Spirit. The bondsman is not going to come and take your children from you. Don't fret it. Just confess it. Praise God. Your children are saved in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We used to have a lady here that had a derelict son. I'd ask her, how's he doing? And she never would say he was lost. She always said, he's making memories right now. He's out there making miracles right now. She always saw in the future. And I lived long enough that I saw that boy get saved because that mama wouldn't give up on him. Friend, I'm going to tell you what. Just keep pouring the oil. Keep pouring the oil. You're going to save your boys. You're going to save your family. The Holy Spirit's going to come into your life. You're going to have more than enough. You're not going to live just barely getting by. You see, people say, you believe in prosperity? I believe that every Christian ought to have more than they need. So that is prosperity. Doesn't mean you have to be a billionaire, but it just means you're not sweating it every day. You're not sweating every week saying, are we going to be evicted out of this house? Are they going to come and take my car this week? You shouldn't live like that. That's not the will of God. It's the will of God for you to have more than you need so that you can give. If you have less than you need, you can't give. God wants to overflow you. He wants you to be able to pour and there to be no end to what he's doing in your life. You said, look how good the Lord has been. I just praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Lord has blessed me in so many ways. I'm in the hospital. I sell two places in the hospital. While I'm in the hospital, I sell two places. And I make enough money on those two places, Warren, for the first time in my life to pay cash for the house that I want. And I made it from those. Didn't come from the church, didn't come from anybody. It just came while I was in the hospital. Just because I'm in the hospital don't mean I'm not being blessed. Paul and Silas's biggest blessing was in the jail. They turned the Philippian jail into a church house, praise God. And I'm going to tell you what, God's able to do that for you. The devil thinks he's got you in a jail. It's fixed to become a church house. It's fixed to become a bank. It's fixed to become a house. It's fixed to become praise God. Northeast Baptist Hospital where they had me, that became my real estate office while I was there. God is able to turn it around, and God's going to do it for you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. The devil thinks you're vulnerable, but Jesus came not for the righteous. He came for the sinner. He didn't come for the strong. He came for the weak. He didn't come for those that are well. He came for the sick. And friend, you need to stand up on your feet and lift your hands and say, praise God, I am strong, I am healthy, I am blessed, I'm financially prosperous, I'm a soul winner, I'm a great father, I'm a great mother, I'm a great child of God. God is going to use me. I'm just going to keep pouring the oil. I'm just looking for more vessels.